You can be seated if you have your Bibles. We're going to turn here with me to the book of, let's look at a few things before we get started this morning. You can go ahead and go to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to finish up today looking at how to be led by the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at a couple of things on today that I think is important, especially when we're talking about this subject, just making sure that I give you everything that I can give you to make sure that you're successful in following the Lord as he leads you. Amen. So let's look at Romans chapter 8. Kind of set the stage for where we're going. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 14. And verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, at the very beginning of this study, we said that has a lot to do with the sons of God dealing with maturity level. Because those that are really listening to the Holy Spirit, those who are really following the Holy Spirit, are going to be those who you are seeing that are maturing in the body of Christ. So to flow with God is going to require you to grow up. Amen. Because we read the scripture also that says that children are tossed to and fro. Well, God expects for you to grow to a place to where you are no longer being tossed to and fro by what you see and what you hear. But you're able to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you in whatever way he chooses to speak to you and then to follow him. Amen. So now they that are led by the Spirit of God, the word of God says here, they are the sons of God. Let's look at John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16. And in St. John chapter 16, we can look here at verse 13. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So once again, we see here that the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. Not just the truth that you find in the Word of God. Yeah, he's going to guide us into the revelations in the Word of God. But his job is to lead and guide you into anything and everything that's true. What about your everyday-to-day situations that you go through? Well, how many of you know that Satan is always trying to put up distractions and deceptions and trying to trip you up? Well, the Spirit of God, if you'll listen, he will always lead you into that that's going to be true. Amen. So you can trust him. So we see two scriptures here that where it is God by his Spirit that does the leading. Now let's look at one more place here, Isaiah chapter 48. I'm laying this foundation down for where we're going because we're going to talk about something today that I have to be very clear with on who's doing the leading. All right. Now in Isaiah chapter 48, verse number 17 says, "Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Now, notice here's what he's getting ready to say. "I am the Lord, thy God, which teaches thee to profit." So God is the one that teaches you to profit, not your investment broker, not the TV, not your books that you're going and buy or get from the library or whoever your financial advisors. No. Those people are there to give you information, but God is the one who teaches you how to profit. So if you want to profit, listen to God. Now, how does he teach you how to profit? By leading you in the way that you should go. I said it here on Tuesday that the book that I've been reading from Kenneth Hagin, and he said he was praying, the Lord told him this, that if he would learn how to listen to those the inner witness, the leaders of the Spirit of God, he would make him wealthy. Well, here's the scriptural proof. He says, "I'll teach everybody in here how to profit by leading them in the way that thou should go." So if you want to get into profit, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to those leadings that he's given to you, and then obey and do what he tells you to do. So we see here in three different places that it is God through by his Spirit that leads us. All right. Now, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about where does prophecy, visions, and dreams fit into this? All right? Because there are a lot of people in the body of Christ that are seeking prophecy. They're going to prophet services, wanting the prophet to give them direction. They're trying to draw their direction from a vision or from a dream. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that is not the proper operation for a New Testament born again believer. All right. God, this now we're going to look at some things here, but I'm going to tell you right off the bat here. Prophecy should not be guiding your life. Visions and dreams should not be guiding your life. And if they are, we're going to stop that today. All right. So let's get into the Word of God and let's find out what does the Bible say concerning prophecy, visions and dreams. Well, let's look at, first of all, the book of Joel. Go to Joel chapter 2. Now, I read those three scriptures this morning, first of all, because I wanted you to be quite clear on who is supposed to be doing the leading. And the Bible says that it is God through by his Spirit. Now, let's look at Joel chapter 2. And look at verse 28. Now, this is a prophetic word speaking about the end times that we're living in. It says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, God says he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So obviously he's talking about the day that we're living in, because he could not pour out his spirit upon all flesh in the Old Testament. So he's talking about all the time that came after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now he's able to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Matter of fact, Peter preached about that on the day of Pentecost. So now we see that God is able to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Let's keep reading. And as a result, it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon my handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. So we see here, according to the Word of God, that prophecy, visions and dreams are part of this New Testament life that we're living. All right. So we see God says that they have a place. So I'm not saying we're going to throw it out all together, but we need to put it in its proper perspective. All right. So now it says afterwards, I'm going to pour out my spirit. The Lord said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, that's everybody, that's men, women, they're going to be able to prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. All right. So prophecies, visions and dreams are all a part of the New Testament life, but they are not supposed to govern direction on what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it. All right. Now, let's start out with the prophecy side of this first, because it's one of the major errors that God's people make. Going to services with the intent on getting the prophet to give you a word. I mean, they've constructed whole services. And the whole intent, I'm going to prophesy to everybody in the building. No, you're not. Not if the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to. And you don't have a right to go to the prophet and demand a word. Now, you say, well, that's what they did in the Old Testament. Yes. But in the Old Testament, they did not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Only the kings had the Holy Spirit. Was upon the king. He was upon the king for what reason? For governing. He was upon the priest. Why? Because the priest was the person that ministered before the Lord for the people. And he was upon the prophet because that was the form that by which God gave direction to them, because that was the only way they could get it. So when there was a situation, they had to go seek the prophet. So the prophet can tell us what to do. Why? Because they didn't have the indwelling of the Spirit of God back then. But you are full of God's Spirit, and you have no need to seek out the prophet to tell you what to do anymore. That's not the prophet's operation in the New Testament. The prophet still has a place in the New Testament, but their operation has changed slightly. Now, there is a difference between the office of a prophet and God using someone to give a person a word. Because the Bible says that your daughters and sons shall prophesy. God can prophesy through anybody at any time whenever he gets ready that's filled with his spirit. But that doesn't make you a prophet. Okay? You need to understand that. A lot of folks think, well, God used me to give a word, and I gave a word, and now you think that you're in the office of a prophet, and you are not. There's proof that you're a prophet, that you're in the office of a prophet, because there are things that will begin to work and begin to come together in your life, and it will be obvious. But just because someone gives a word or has an encouraging word for somebody, or God tells something or speaks something or shows something through someone, doesn't necessarily make you a prophet. All right. So now let's look at some things here. Where does prophecy fit in the New Testament? Well, let's look and see. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Let's take a look at this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And notice what it says here. Let's just read, let's start at verse 16. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. The Amplified Bible says that don't despise the gift or the utterance of the prophetic. Do not depreciate the prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instructions or exhortation or warning that comes as a result of that. So we can't despise prophecy. You can't think just because, well, we're not supposed to listen to prophets anymore. No, the Bible here says, don't think little of that anymore. Don't think little of that. It has its place. Prophecy has a place. Being prophesied to, prophecy has a place in your life, but it's not to lead you. The Bible didn't say that they that are led by prophecy or the spirit are the sons of God, did it? It didn't say that prophecy would lead and guide you into all truth, did it? That's why I read those scriptures first. It says that the Spirit of God does the leading and the guiding. So now let's see how prophecy fits in. Now, in the Old Testament, I said that they had to seek out prophets because that was the way or that was the anointed one that God had put into the earth at the time to give direction to the people. But in the New Testament, it's changed slightly. Now, the prophets I still believe that prophets, if they're going to give out a message for leading, it's for the whole church. It's for everybody. If a prophet stands up and God wants to correct, usually to do it to correct something that's maybe going, the church may be getting off, God will bring in a prophet or raise up a prophet and speak to the whole church concerning the direction of that church. But as an individual, the operation of a prophet is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to show you this in a second. Now, if you look in the book of Revelation chapter 3, chapter 1, matter of fact, let's look there. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, I believe it is. You see where this statement is made. Verse 3. Blessed is the readers and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, as you read through here in the book, the Bible calls Revelation a book of prophecy. But as you begin to read down through here, what I begin to see as I begin to read this here, right at the very beginning, God began to speak to churches concerning error that was in them. And he used the voice of a prophet to correct the error that was going on in the church. So if this congregation gets off and we start heading down a road that we shouldn't be on, or we're missing the thing that God has called for this ministry to do, and God raises up a prophet or sends someone in here, thus said the Lord, and it corrects and gets the church back in where it needs to be as a group, and headed back in the right direction. Now, I believe that. Now, what about individual? Now, here's where the reason why I'm talking about this, because too many of us think that we're supposed to be seeking out the prophet's direction for your individual life, and you shouldn't be. Now, notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians. Let's look at the individual life now. Yes, prophets have a place, but in the individual's life, here's the operation that the God has given to for us, what I found in the Bible, for the New Testament prophet. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says, "But he that prophesy speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." So the job of the prophet to you and I on an individual basis, if it's not to gain, well, let me go find a prophet and see if I should do this. That is wrong. If God is going to have somebody say something to you in the form of a prophecy, it's coming to confirm something that's going on that God is already talking to you about. It's coming to like the Bible just says, to exhort, to comfort, and to encourage you. But most of the time, 99.9% of the time, God has already spoke to you about something, and maybe you didn't hear him, or you didn't pay attention, or whatever it is, or maybe you're struggling with it to some degree, and God has sent someone in here and confirmed that thing for, yes, this was God talking to you, and it's a form of encouragement. It's a form of comfort. It's a form of exaltation in your life. But you are not supposed to be seeking out the prophet to learn should I go work here? Should I marry this person? I mean, that's like calling a psychic hotline. And the prophet's not a psychic. They're not the psychic hotline. So it says here that they're speaking unto men. Verse 4 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So I'm looking to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm seeking God. You're seeking God for direction. You don't have the right to tell God to send a prophet to tell you something. You go to God and you listen to the Holy Spirit. And if God chooses to use somebody else to speak something into your life, it's going to be for your edification. It's going to be for your encouragement. It's going to be for your building up in spiritual capacity in some kind of way. But it's going to confirm what he's dealing with in you. What is God talking to you about? See, the problem is we don't want to do any praying. We don't want to do any seeking God our own self. We won't be lazy and go get somebody else to tell us what God is saying. And God's not going to let that happen. Nope. Let me tell you right now. God's desire was and will always be to talk and deal with you directly. It's the reason why the Bible says he tore down that veil that kept people away from him, that petition, he ripped it out. Why? So that there would be nothing between him and his people. So don't go put another individual in the mix. Go to God, find out what God is saying, and then if God needs to enhance that, he can. But the initial place should be they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now let's look also at another place here. Let's look at 2 Peter. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart." Now, I don't care who comes and talks to you. Everything whether you're praying and you believe you hear the Spirit saying it, or whether someone prophesied something to you, everything that you hear that came from God will measure back up to this word. If it doesn't, discard it. If it can't be founded on scripture, if it can't be supported by the word of God, it did not come from God, because Jesus said in John, when he was talking about the Holy Spirit says he will not speak of himself, but he will say whatever he hears from the Father. That is what he's going to say to you. So he is not going to say anything any different than what the word of God has already said to you. So if you get something in your spirit from God and it doesn't measure up to the word of God, it didn't come from God. Because if it came from God, you would be able to find a support of it in this book. All right. So it says here that you have a more sure word of prophecy. It's this book. And it says that you would do well to take heed thereof, to pay attention to it. It wouldn't matter if nobody ever said nothing to you. You have enough right here. God already don't say it. Just follow it. So it says that you would do well to take heed of it. And this book here, this Bible, is like a light shining into a dark place. Well, what does light do when it shines to a dark place? It brings illumination. It provides illumination for you. In other words, this book will provide information or answers when you don't know what to do. And it says that it's also like the day star rising in your heart. It'll dawn on you. If you get into this book and let it shine its light into your heart, answers will just, it just hits you. It's not going to come out of your mind. It comes up out of your spirit, because we talked about that. The Spirit searches the deep things of God and reveals them to you. Revelation comes. That's what I'm supposed to do. So the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You get in the Bible. You get in prayer. You let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you in this. See, let me tell you something. You don't have to get in a rush to do anything. And sometimes the devil put pressure on you. You think you got to go do it tomorrow, and you don't. You have to wait on the Lord. So you get into the book, you get into the word, you get into prayer, and you follow the Lord. And you say, okay, Lord, this is what's been said. And you've been dealing with me on this. You sent this person came in here and they gave me a word and it confirmed what was going on in my spirit. Now, where are we going with this? And you let the Holy Spirit talk to you. You let him minister to you. He'll begin to show you scriptures and lead you in the different passages in the Bible, bring scriptures up into your thinking. And what is he doing? He's putting together the whole package for you so that when you step out, you're stepping out on something that's sure. And the reason that it's that way, because I'm going to tell you now, a lot of times you'll step out on things, and if it's not founded securely upon what God told you and what God showed you in the word, and you get out there and it starts to shake, you'll quit and give up on that thing and run off. If all you have is, you know, Prophet so-so said, if that's all you got, you in trouble. Because I guarantee you when the test comes, you're going to quit. But when it's founded from something that you got from God, confirmed through what Prophet Bobo said, and he's found in the word of God. So now when you step out there, it's been established, and now you have a sure thing to stand on. And no matter how it shakes, you can go back to what God told you. You can go back to what the word of God had to say about it. There's your faith, and you can just, having done all the stand and watch God bring that thing to pass. Now let's look on a little bit further here. Verse 20 says, knowing that first, no prophecy is of the scripture is of a private interpretation. The Amplified Bible says, first, you must understand this, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of any personal or private or special interpretation. It ain't, people, God ain't just said something that's just only, you're the only one ever going to ever hear that. And this is your special revelation, and nobody else is ever going to know this, and you're the only one. Because God is never going to deviate from this book. Anybody can pick this Bible up and get in the Holy Spirit and start praying and get revelation from God. And so you can do it. I can do it. They can do it. Now let's continue to look at this. Here's where I want to get to. Verse 21 from the Amplified Bible says, for no scripture ever originated because some man willed it to do so. It never came by human impulse, but man speak from God who were moved along or impelled by the Holy Spirit. So prophecy is not, this is why I said you don't go to services looking for someone to tell you something. It's not in, they can't come up with it on their own. And if they do, I don't want to hear it. We were in a church and a man told Quantrell, because Quantrell operates in the office of a prophet. The man told Quantrell that prophecy is subject to her and she can prophesy whenever she get ready. That's not what the scripture just told. The scripture says it doesn't come by the will of man. If God doesn't have anything to say to you, forget about it. It's done. It's over with. Now, I've never seen it, but they've told me about services where that was the point of service. You come out, put your little nickel, quarter, dime, penny, whatever it is in the cup, and they give you a prophecy. Hold on. Who's talking here? Is this the Holy Ghost talking, or is this the demons and devils talking? Because the book just said if it didn't come from God, there's only one other place it's coming from to come from. And that's just the mind of some man. So I'm wanting you to see here this morning that the Bible didn't say that you're led by prophecy. It says you're led by the Spirit of God. Now, how does prophecy fit in? If God has something to say to you to confirm what's going on in you, he has the right to do that. But you don't have the right to go seek that. The Bible didn't tell you to go seek that. And if the Bible didn't say to seek it, then you don't have a right to do so. You get into error when you do that. All right. So if you showed up to church this morning and you came in here and you praised and you worshiping God and God has a word for you and I'm up here preaching, all of a sudden the Spirit of God hit me or hit Quantrell or whoever it is and say, thus said the Lord to you, Ebony. Now, that's different than Ebony coming here and walking up to Quantrell saying, did the Lord tell you something about me? The Lord tell you something. And you was at home last night. Lord, if this is really you, I want you to tell Quantrell to tell me when I get. Nah, that's, you out of order. You out of order. You might as well go on and call the 1-900 number. But you follow God. And if God needs to encourage your heart because he sees you getting a little weak there, he can have someone prophesy to you. Or if you start getting off track and God needs to get you on track and you're not sure if you're not quite listening like you need to, you know you're supposed to. You know, there's a time when we were at the church that we came out of right before we started this church. There was a prophet that came in. I can't remember his name. I think it was Leo. But anyway, he called several of us up in front of the church this particular day. And now, I've always known since about the second or third year of getting born again that I was going to be doing something in the ministry. I had no idea what. But I could look at my life and tell how God was dealing with me and how things that I was just learning and how God was just dealing with me. I knew I was going to end up doing something in the church. I didn't know what, but I knew I was going to end up doing something. So I knew that there was a work for me to do in my heart. Well, we kept going and we kept, you know, just serving God, living for God. We came into this church and we were ministering, just working in the church. We tried to hide out in the back row. They wouldn't let us. They made us move to the second. Well, they made us move to the front, but we refused. We sat on the second row, but we ended up on the first row. And then we ended up in the pool pit. And we wasn't trying to get there. We was trying to sit in the back. I won't do anything. You know, y'all understand, I came out of church. I went to church 7 days a week, and I didn't want to do anything anymore. Just let me sit here, pay my tithes, and enjoy the service. That's all I wanted to do. But God had something else in mind. So after being there for maybe it was a year, I don't forget how long it was, this prophet came to town, and he was ministering in there, and he called several of us up. You know, he said the Lord had something to say to us. And I think it was Quantrell and myself was up there. I think the nuns were up there that day. And he began to talk, it was some other folks, but he began to talk to us, especially, if I remember right, Quantrell and I and the nuns, along the lines of pastoral stuff. Now, I already knew that there was some type of ministry for me to do. So God is now doing what? He's not giving me direction. I want you to be a pastor. What he's doing, he's starting to confirm in me now what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? And the same thing for the nuns, and they're pastoring today too. And so We just tucked that away because I didn't want to hear that. Because what I had seen up to that point of pastorship, people abused pastors and did them wrong, and it wasn't fun, and it was hard work, and I didn't want to be involved in it. I was like, nah. And then I didn't think I could be a pastor. I don't know enough to be a pastor. So I didn't. We just, after we got in the car, we drive home. I looked at the car and said, I don't know who you're talking to. I'm driving on home. A few months went past. You show how I got now. He's confirmed. I know in my heart I'm supposed to be doing this, but I don't want to. Sent the prophet. What did the prophet do? Help confirm what was going on. It didn't tell me what to do, but it confirmed for me. So what that did for me is later, a few months later, I was driving down the road, and I was coming from doing something out by the banister when the banister mall was there, and I was driving past the old Montgomery Ward's building. I don't even know why I'm thinking about this. I'm just driving, and all of a sudden, I look at the Montgomery Ward's building. I said, well, that would make a nice church. Now, I don't even know where that thought came from. I know now where it came from. It came from the Holy Ghost. And I said, that would make a nice church. Drove a few more seconds, and the Spirit said, it sure would, and you can pastor it. And I'm like, well, where'd that come from? I won't do that, you know, but it's coming up again here. He said, you can pastor it. Then he went a step further and called it Works of Faith Ministries. Wow. So I go home. I didn't tell Quantrell right away. I just started praying, but then I finally told her, and I don't think she was happy about it either, but we started praying about it, and then we told God, you know, okay, this is what we're going to do. We'll start a Bible study on a Tuesday night. That way we can say we tried, and if nobody show up, then we can say, so be it. So we started a Bible study on a Tuesday night. Lo and behold, what happened? 5 people show up, 10 people show up, and now here we go. You know, and then I can remember, come Easter, Lord says, now you're going to pass at the church. So on the Easter Sunday, we started Works of Faith Ministries. Now, where did all that come from? It came from in my heart because God had already put it there. Then he used a prophet to confirm what he had said to me, to encourage me, and to just give me a little bit more, okay, yeah, God is leading me this way. But he didn't send the prophet to tell me, you're going to be the pastor. How many people have made shipwrecks because they've listened to people tell them that, and that is not what God wanted them to do? Make sure it's in here first. And if it confirms what's in here, then you can give it weight in your life. If it doesn't confirm what's in here, throw it away. Well, what if it was God? Well, you don't think God is smart enough to know if he said it once, he can come say it to you again if he need to? He's not senile. Okay? So yes, prophecy has its place in the New Testament, but it's not to direct your life. The scripture says it is to exhort, to encourage, and to bring comfort. All right? Now, let's look here at this next piece. What about dreams and visions? Well, Pastor, you know, I had this dream, and I just know it was the Lord telling me to go do something. Are you sure? Because the Bible says that they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It didn't say that they that are led by a dream and a vision. Okay? The devil can give you dreams, too. The devil can give you visions. All right? You better know this. Let me say this right up front. Just because you had a crazy out of your mind dream doesn't make you a bad person. You have to understand that the devil can insert things in there to try to play tricks on you and make you think and try to confuse you. You have authority over that. You having a crazy dream, wake up, rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and tell the devil, get out of there and go back to sleep. I do it all the time. Devil show up my dream with some silly stuff, and I know this is silly. Oh, well, I wake up out of my sleep in the name of Jesus, you demon, you better get out of here. You know, I'll plead the blood of Jesus over my mind and go back to sleep and be wonderful. You can do this. You just have to teach yourself how. But now, let's look at this dream and vision stuff here. Because yes, God does. We read and it says, afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, prophesy for your young men and your young women. And then it says that there's going to be dreams and visions going on, too. So, yes, God does give you dreams. And yes, God does give you visions, but they're not to lead and guide your life. They're there to do something similar to what prophecy does, to encourage you. They're there to enhance you. They're there to help you understand, yes, God is dealing with you, and here's some confirmation for you. Now, let's look at this. What do you do? What do you do when you have a dream you're trying to find out if it's of God or if it's something that's just, you know, because Holy Spirit. Some of us in here, because we all have done it, you can want things so bad and you can really want that to where you can so saturate your inner thought process with that thing to where it'll begin to talk to you and it'll begin to talk to you from a place that you think it really is God. But you have so took your soulless and engulfed your soulless individual, your soulless self into this soul to where it's really not coming from God. It's your will trying to impress something upon you because you've just wanted so bad. Now you can do that, but it doesn't make it right. You still got to go back and try that thing and find out. Just like I need to find out if prophecy doesn't line up with the word of God, get rid of it. If dreams and visions don't line up with the word of God, get rid of them. But then not only have to line up with the word of God, you need to find out if that's what God wants you to be doing, if that's what you're supposed to be doing. Just because you had a dream don't mean you're supposed to go out tomorrow and start doing stuff. And people do it. I had a dream. I was supposed to quit my job and go, okay, you quit your job. Now you broke. Getting ready to get evicted from your house. Well, God showed me. Oh, how do you know? But I had a vision pass and I just saw this thing and it just materialized. It came down from heaven. How you know that was God? How do you know? Because you have to know. And the Bible says they that are led by a vision and a dream. Or the sons of God. No, they that are led by the Spirit of God. Everything goes back to you going back into your prayer closet talking to God. Now, let's look at this. Habakkuk chapter 2. This is where the Lord took me to talk about this. What do you do with a dream or a vision? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come, and it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, so you had a dream. What is the first thing that you need to do concerning this dream? It just told you, write it down. Write it down. There's a reason that you write it down. There's a couple of reasons why you're going to write it down. Number one, you need to write it down so you don't forget it. In particular, you really need to write it down right away so that you don't forget the details of it. Number two, the reason that you're writing it down, because now you're going to have this written record, and now you're going to go to God with this written record to find out, is this from you or is this just something that just, you know, I need to get rid of? But how do you know what you're going to talk to God about if you didn't write it down? So it says you write the vision, write the dream, write it down. And I would encourage you to write it down soon. So if you wake up out of your sleep with a dream, if your memory is kind of short, you think it's not, you're not going to take a few minutes, write it down. Then go back to sleep. Or at least the next day, while it's fresh in your mind, write it down. Now, after you've written it down, because we're trying to work through this, is this of God? Because if this is something that I'm going to give weight in my life, I need to know, first of all, can I trust this, Lord? Is this from you? Because like I said, you can want things so bad on the inside. Ooh, the Lord confirmed that with a dream. You really, you can build things up in you just soulishly, in the soulish realm, just like you can build things up in the spirit realm. You keep meditating that thing long enough, and God done told you no, and you keep meditating that thing long enough. After a while, it'll start talking to you. You'll think that you're supposed to be doing it. But all the while, the Holy Spirit is saying no. Now, how many of you in here has experienced that? I have. And then you start trying to go do it, and you, well, Lord, I thought I had this, but you keep feeling this on the inside tugging you back. But then you keep having all these dreams, you keep thinking about it. And well, what is going on? See, that there's a conflict there, because remember the scripture we read? Let the peace of God rule. Was there any peace? Is there peace? No, because you keep trying to go and something keeps saying, and you keep coming back. Well, that's letting you know, hey, some error here somewhere. So write it down. Next thing it told you to do, refer to it often for encouragement. If you found out that this is what God has given for you to do, you refer to it often, it will encourage you. All right? You will need to refer to it often. Remember, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. Well, if God gave you the dream, you wrote it down, don't let it. It says meditate on it day and night. Why do you meditate on it? So that you can observe to do it. If this is a vision or a dream that came from God, and you've been through the process, you've talked to the Holy Spirit, he's confirmed in you, yes, this is from me, this is for your encouragement, you got it wrote down, you refer to it often. That's the reason you wrote it down. If you don't write it down, you'll forget. As you're going through life and it tarries, you'll forget about it and give up on it because you're not thinking about it. And you've been all moved on. And here's a promise that God's given you. Here's something that God's trying to do for you. And here's something that the Holy Spirit is working on in your life. And you forgot all about it because you didn't write it down. So write it down and then refer to it every now and then, you know, once a week, twice a week. However many times you need to do it, pick that thing back up and read what God said to you again. Read what he showed to you again. So when it tarries, you can still be encouraged, because it says here they that read it can run. Well, who is the person that's talking about running? I used to think it's talking about when other people read it. No, it's talking about when you read it, you can keep running. Because if you lose hope on it, and if you lose encouragement on it, you will eventually stop going after it. How many of you and God first gave you direction about something, and you know it's for him? You were going after that thing with everything you had. But as time got in between there, what you notice begin to happen is you start slowing down on it, slowing down on it, slowing down on it. And now, well, if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it does. And you walk away from it. Go back and read it. Go back and meditate on it a little while. Go back into prayer with that thing. Let the Holy Spirit stir you up on it again. Why? So that you can keep running after it, and that you don't quit and give up on it. Once you've established that this is the Lord talking to you, you refer to it often. Now notice, the direction is coming from God, not the dream or the vision. You just use that as an encouragement. You know, they had a commercial to come on, a Special K commercial to come on, and there was this woman that had this little bathing suit, and she hung it up on the wall, and she was eating her Special K every day and doing a little exercise, and she kept doing a little bathing suit on the wall. The bathing suit was the encouragement, because she wanted to get into that. So while I'm up here working, she just kept looking at the wall. One day I'm going to put that on. And finally, because her encouragement stayed in her view, she was able to continue what she needed to do. The day came, she could put it on. Well, the same thing is true with the dream or something that came from God. It's there for you to put out there as an encouragement. And the Lord's already told you what to do. He's giving you a visual encouragement. And so you keep working and you refer to it. Keep working and refer to it. What does it do? It keeps you encouraged till the day you step into it. All right? So now, Let's look at the next thing. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. You don't make one move. I don't care how glorious the dream or vision was, and you know it was God talking to you. You've proven it. You still don't make one move without doing what we're getting ready to read here. This scripture says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. You don't do anything until God speaks. I don't care how good it looks. Until God say go, you just keep meditating that thing. You just stay with it. And if God says do this, and do this only. Don't try to add your 3 and 4 cents in there. He don't need your help. All he needs for you to do is just listen and obey. Listen and obey. All right, Father, you said do part A. I'm in part A and I'm just going. I am not even going to think about part B. Here's how you get in trouble. You start trying to figure out part B and C before God even talks to you about it. I'm not even going to think about part B. All I know is you said part A, and I'm just going to keep running in part A. And as I run in part A, I'm going to keep on looking at the, at what you showed me. And then all of a sudden, guess what's going to happen? As I'm running in part A, now, son, I need you part B. Get, now you shift gears to part B. And let God move you into where you're needing to go. You don't need to go and seek God. I mean, seek that thing out and make it happen yourself. And that's what we do. We hear from God, and then we start trying to figure out how we're going to make it happen. If God said, if God gave it to you, it came from him, don't you think he has enough to also know how he wants to bring it to pass? Because the plan you come up with, it has going to have absolutely nothing on the plan that he has in store for you. And you be done made 4 and 5 shipwrecks before you get it done. And God can help you get it done all right the first time. All right. So you don't make a move until you've gotten direction from him for each piece. So that's why the scripture says, though it tarries, wait. Wait, wait. You're not just sitting there waiting for it to kind of pass. No, you're talking to God. You're listening to the Spirit. You're following the Holy Spirit. He's you waiting on his direction. You're waiting on his illumination. You wait on his revelation so that you'll know what step to make and when to make it. Because, yeah, you may take this step and it may be the right one, but the timing may not be right. And how many of you know having the knowing where to go and what time to do it, both are important. Because you can step out there before God and it was you were supposed to, but it wasn't time yet and still miss it. Remember the scripture says that over in Mark chapter 4, it says when the fruit is ripe and is permitting. Ripe means it's the right place. You're in the right place. Permitting is the right time. All right. Now, let's look at this next thing here. Trust God and let him bring it to pass. Trust God. I said you write it down. Refer to it often. Wait for a direction from the Spirit of God. Now, and trust God and let him bring it to pass. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth there not thither, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wheresoever I sent it. Notice, if it comes from God, God brings it to pass. It's not your responsibility to bring it to pass. It's God's. I got to trust him. Now, when we accepted this responsibility of starting this church, right up front, towards the beginning of this ministry, God gave me a series of dreams. Now, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. The Holy Spirit's already talking to me. But God wants to now confirm for me that I'm on the right track, listening to the right things, and headed in the right direction. He'll do it for you. One of the dreams I had spoke to the purpose for the church. And it was, and like I said, once again, it all still has to be scripturally based. The first dream that I had was I was at a Benny Hinn's meeting in the dream. And we all came down for prayer. There was a long line of people standing up here for prayer. And he was down there praying for folks. And I'm standing down here, and he's coming down the line. And I'm just praying the Holy Ghost in my dream. Standing there waiting, like I was standing like this, waiting to get prayed for. So as I prayed the Holy Ghost, and I could hear him coming, all of a sudden, I began to pray louder and louder and louder till I didn't hear anybody else but myself. And then I opened my eyes, and everybody was gone. And all I saw in the middle of the room was a big flower pot. And I saw these seeds fall out of heaven into the flower pot. And this big stalk tree just busted up out of the flower pot, started growing rapidly. And it was just, wow. And I woke up. Went back to sleep that same night. I think it was the same night. It was the same night. And this time, I was on the road traveling. It was me and Quantrell in the car traveling down the road. And there were two other cars in front of us. And the two cars in front of us were moving like missiles. That's how fast they were going. And our car would have been moving like a bullet, still fast, but not as fast as a missile. But we were moving fast enough that I could keep my eyes and I could see where the cars in front of me were going. They were a little ways down the road, but I could see them. And what would happen would be, instead of pulling into a gas station to get gas, we would pull into it looked like a gas station, but Kenneth Copeland would go up on this big tall cliff, and he had on this Indian tribal suit, and he would start teaching wisdom down to us. That was our fuel. And it was him and Gloria in the first car. They were leading, Creflo and Taffy, and there was me and Quantrell. And so we would eat, and he would teach down to us. And then everybody would get back in their cars. His car shoot off like a missile. Creflo's car shoot off like a missile. And our car would shoot off like a bullet, but I could see where they were going. And I woke up again. Told Quantrell about these two dreams. I went to work. She stayed home that day. I think she had stopped working at that point or whatever it was. I don't know. But she was at home. She called me at work. Remember, I was down in Penn Valley. She called me at work and said, guess what? I said, what? She says, guess what I'm looking at? I said, well, what are you looking at? She says, I'm looking at Benny Hinn's program. This is your day. Where was I at when the dream started? In a Benny Hinn's meeting. She says, guess who's on here? I said, I don't know. She says, a man on here interpreting dreams biblically. And he showed in the word of God both of those dreams, what they meant, what they represented from Scripture. From Scripture. The first one was dealing with what this ministry will do in Kansas City. It comes from Mark, the fourth chapter. The second dream was showing me I'm in the right vein. I'm following the right revelation. I got the right teaching. Now, what did it do? It encourages me. I refer back to that. When I get disappointed because I don't see things, Lord, don't look like it's ever coming to pass. Oh, God, what's going on? Like, look at all the empty chairs. They have folks that didn't even come to church today. You know, that used to get me down. But you know what? I go back and look at my dream. But Lord, this is what you said. I know I'm listening to the right teaching because I'm in the right place. So all I have to do is just keep, read it, keep on running. Because I know I'm gonna hit my target if I don't quit. Then some days went past, and then God gave me some more information. I mean, just confirming things for me through dream. Right up front. I had, right up at the beginning, I had a whole bunch of dreams. There's another one where I wanted to take my family to Disney World. And I couldn't find anybody to help me. And this was me and Quantrell was like, God, we were looking all over the place trying to find somebody that's been in ministry for a while so we could get some help, teach us and tell us some, give us some wisdom. And would nobody talk to us? So, and we were having this back and forth, like, Lord, we, and so I'm in my dream, and I'm saying, I got frustrated in the dream, and I said, look, I'm tired of trying to find somebody to help me get to Disney World. I'm just going to walk myself. So I just started walking in the dream, and I'm walking down the road, and I finally got to this convenience store, and I came into the convenience store, and T.D. Jakes owned the convenience store. He was the man behind the counter. He said, son, what you doing? I said, and I stopped for a while because I was kind of tired. And I was getting something to drink. I said, you know, I kept trying to get somebody to help me get to Disney World, and they wouldn't help me. So I just decided I'm going to walk myself. He said, that's some faith there. So I said, well, I got to get back on the road because I got to get to Disney World. He says, all right. And so I went out the door. You know how you had little bells on the door when they open and close? I could hear the little bell behind me close. And I went out the door. I heard the bells ring again, and I knew he was coming. Somebody came out. So he says, hey, and I turned around, and he threw me a key ring with keys on it. He says, here. He said, these are the keys to that car over there. It was a beat up car. It was beat up. It looked like a clunker, rusted out, old looking car. He said, she may not look like much, but she's reliable. That's what he told me in a dream. Then I woke up. Then the Holy Spirit told me what those three keys were. With your heart, your mouth, and the word of God, you can get anything done. God will talk to you. He will teach you. He will show you things. But see, I didn't let the dream or the vision dictate to me what I'm supposed to be doing. God already has done that. I get that from the Spirit of God. I let the dream, I let the vision, I let the prophecy encourage me when I need the encouragement, motivate me when I need motivating. But the enlightenment comes from him. You gotta put him in a proper place. Because if you don't, you'll start letting your life be governed by some dream. And you're going to be vulnerable to deception. You'll start allowing your life to be dictated by a prophecy. And you always need somebody to tell you something. But the scripture says that you don't need any man to teach you. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you what you're supposed to do and when you're not supposed to be doing it. Because if you're not careful, if you start allowing prophecies, dreams, and visions to be your leader and guider, you eventually get up into an area where Satan will lead you off the path. And you won't even know you're off of it. Because you're not in the habit of going to God. Everything is confirmed by the Spirit of God, or we could call him the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of the Word. And if you can't, if the Holy, and I think I wrote this down. The Spirit, even in the dream, in the vision, no matter what it is, God will always, through by his Spirit, lead you back to Scripture. I just proved to you that those dreams that I had, God led me back to Scripture on all of them, even the keys for the car. Remember, he said, she may not look like much, but she's faithful. Psalms 18. The word of the Lord has been tested and tried. Key ring, your mouth, the word of God, and your heart. Mark chapter 4, Romans chapter 10. I could go on. Romans chapter 12. It's in the word of God. So I get on the word of God and I refer back to the dream When I need to, when I feel myself giving up and wanting to quit, I'll go back, read it. Because it said, he that readeth may run. So I can keep going after it, keep going with God, because it shall surely come to pass. Though it tarry, wait on it. Because it says, it will not lie, it shall surely come to pass. God is not a liar. God is not a liar. He has not lied to you. What has God promised you? Have you had any visions and dreams lately? Well, do you know if they are of God or not? If they are of God, did you write them down? Do you refer to them? Or do you have a whole bunch of stuff you've given up on because it took longer than a week to get? There are some things, folks, that God will do for you speedily. And then there are some things that are going to happen over a process of time. God, even though I had that dream about what this ministry would do, how big it would be, because Mark chapter 4 says that the mustard seed, though it may be small, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater. That's what I saw growing up out of that flower pot. But then it says, and it shoots out its branches. I saw these big, gigantic branches coming off the tree. It says it shoots out its branches so that the fowl of the air may have a lodging place. Where who are the fowl of the air? That's people. They can come in here and get saved. Come in here and get fed. Come in here and get delivered. Come in here and develop a life for themselves. So when I look around and the devil try to tell me it's never going to happen or people despise it, I can go back to what I wrote down. Lord, this is what you said. I didn't make any of this up. I didn't ask you for this. You came to me and spoke to me about this. So, yes, I'm going to believe you. Though it tarry, I will wait on it, for it will not lie. It shall surely come to pass. What has God promised you? What has God said to you? Do you have to wait for a vision or a dream to get excited? No, get in the book and find you a dream. There's a whole book that's 66 books of dreams. It's a whole bunch of them in there. Develop your dream out of it. Well, it didn't come from God. Why didn't it? Where did this book come from? Holy men was inspired by who? The Holy Spirit. It's just as much the word of God coming from God as anything else. And it's a more sure word. Get in there and find you a dream. Get in there and find yourself. Do y'all think Jesus just showed up and says, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do? And since he was the Son of God, he already knew exactly what he was supposed to do when he came, and he just started doing it when he was supposed to start doing it? That's what y'all think. That's what a lot of people think. Not true. Jesus told you how he found out his mission. He says he went into the temple, temple as he was accustomed, and opened up the book and read. And in other words, it says in another, found himself, or where it's talked about himself in the word. He went in the Old Testament, read it, and found himself in there. Everything he said, all the way down to why hast thou forsaken me, he got it out of the book. That's in Psalms. Everything he said hanging on that cross, every word, you can go back and read it in Psalms thousands of years before he ever hung on the cross. He didn't just automatically know he was supposed to do this stuff. He studied the scriptures. And he found himself. And it became his dream. I'm going to become the sacrificial lamb for my Father. Found that in the book. Every last single bit of it. And you could do the same thing. Go in there and find yourself in there. So we are not to be led by prophecies, dreams, or visions. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. All right. Now let's look at this last place. Jude chapter 20. Stay in faith. Well, it's Jude 20 rather. There's only one chapter. Stay in faith. Whatever it is you heard from God, you knew it came from God, it's been confirmed it came from God, stay in faith about it. Here's how you stay in faith about it. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Building up yourself on, it says founded on your most holy faith. Building up yourself on in faith. Your most holy faith. That's come from God. Building yourself up on it. How? How to tell you how to build yourself up in that? By having a praise service? Is that what it said? Oh, anybody say anything? I built myself up on my holy faith because I came to church on Sunday. No, it didn't. It said when I paid my tithe. Nah, this is because the pastor laid hands on me and said I could. It says building up yourself on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Spend time praying in tongues about it. Spend times read that vision. Think about that vision and go talk to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost about it. Spend time praying the Holy Ghost every day. Stay built up. Staying built up by praying the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 or 4, somewhere in there. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you edify, you charge your spirit up. Your spirit's on full. And it helps you hear God quicker. You're more ready because you're practicing the presence of God all the time. But then when God gives you a dream or a vision or whatever it is, and I'm going to tell you right now, how do you know it came from God? One, after he proves it to you and he shows you in the word, I guarantee you, if it truly is God, he's going to do all of those things. He's going to prove it to you. He's going to show it to you in the word. But it's going to be so big, ain't no way you're going to be able to even get it done without him. I guarantee it. It won't be little. God is never going to tell you to do something little because you do that on your own. If God is in it and he wants you to do it, he's going to confirm it. And it's going to be so enormous, you're going to have his help. This is why you have to build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit, because you got to get your mind up to where that dream and that vision is. Because the dream and the vision is not going to come down here. It's set. What God told me about this ministry, it's set. It's up here. I still don't even know how it's all going to happen. I don't care. I know it's going to happen because he says so. I started trying to figure out how to make it happen, but I don't learn better now. That just creates frustration. I quit doing it. Lord, hey, I'm going to keep on going down this road. And if the rapture takes place before I get down to the end of it, at least I was on my path. But if the Lord tarries and we here for a little bit longer, I'm going to keep on down the path. It will come to pass. I'm just going to keep doing what God said to keep doing it. Keep doing it. If there's one person, if there's two people, if there's no people, just keep going. Keep going. Because the dream that was confirmed in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God, it shall surely come to pass if I won't just abort it and get rid of it. All right? So now, we've looked at a lot of stuff during these couple of months. You have everything you need to know to make great decisions, get to where you're supposed to be in God, know how to hear him, how he's talking, what he's saying. And now you know, because a lot of you in here have made, because I've done it too, have made the mistakes, the prophecy, dreams, and vision mistakes, and you won't make them anymore now. All right? So let's just get on. Hey, let's practice this stuff. God didn't just teach you, just didn't have me teach just so I could have something to teach for a month. Nah, we're in a day and a time now to where it's crucial. It is vitally important that you hear and know what God is saying to you. You have a deceiver out there in this world, and his desire is to make sure that you never accomplish anything for God. Number one, he don't want you to. Number two, he wants to keep you discouraged. Because if you stay discouraged long enough, maybe you'll quit. You need to know how to hear. Well, Pastor, what if I make a mistake? I told you when we first started this, you're going to make some. But the next door neighbor doesn't come and discipline my kid when they make a mistake in my house. Does he? That's my job. You don't live in Satan's house anymore. You are a member of God's house. So when you make a mistake, it ain't the devil. He ain't got nothing to do with that. God is the one who comes and deals with you. And when God comes to deal with you, he deals with you how? Out of love, grace, and mercy. So when you follow, I'm endeavoring to learn how to hear from God, and I'm practicing the presence of God. I'm trying to hear. I am going to follow God, and you're listening, and you step out and do something, and it was wrong. Well, don't you think God was just like the first time you was trying to teach your kid how to ride a bike? They fell off at one time. Did you say, "But boy, you will never get back on a bike again"? And I'm not gonna let you hurt yourself. You'll never be able to ride a bike. Nah. You said, "Nah, son, get on up. That's okay. I got you. Come on, we're gonna try it again." Well, that's what God does. You step out there, you trying to follow God, you make a mistake, God says, "Okay, I can take care of that. Get up. Bandage, put your band-aid on. Give you a pat on the back and say, let's try it again." What is that doing? That's teaching you how to hear. Now, if you're the devil's kid, then it's his responsibility to discipline you. But I don't belong to him. I got it. I have a daddy. And he's a good daddy. And when I mess up, he come talk to me about what I did, and he doesn't come and scold me and condemn me and beat me over the head and tell me I'm a good for nothing and I'm never going to be anything. I told you on last week what he says to you about that. Hebrews chapter 8. You need to go and learn it and get it in your spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for your word. Try to make it as simple as I could, Father. I pray that it has gone out and fallen up on good ground, I believe, and I'm expecting to see good fruit as a result thereof. Give you praise for this word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.